بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ويشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir, this 11th day of Ramadan, 1426 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Today inshaAllah, as usual, we shall continue with the surah that we're reading, and that is Surah Al-Baqarah. And actually we will continue with the ayah that we started with, because we haven't even finished the ayah that we started yesterday. InshaAllah, we'll conclude it and then proceed, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And the ayah we read is the 26th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, isn't it? We also read that of the 27th ayah, but we are still treating the 26th. And that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَفْتَحِي أَنْ يَبْرِكُ مَصَلًا مَا بَعُدَّةً فَمَا حَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَوْقُ مَعَدِّهِ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ الَّذِينَ يَنقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِن بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. We started with فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. But for those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not shy away from his similitudes that we see in the Quran, whether it's going to be the mosquito that we'll use or something even less than the mosquito, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always start similitudes depending on how we've been fed. And we say, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and Allah is saying, but for those who believe, فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, they will always realize that that similitude is the truth from the Lord. But for those who believe, they always realize and they accept Allah's similitudes as the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were saying that one of the signs of Iman, one of the signs that go a long way to show that one is a mu'min, would be that the person accepts wholeheartedly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no matter whether the thing appears to his reasoning or not. As long as he realizes that it has been said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing to do is to accept it. Insha'Allah, he will later realize how reasonable the thing is. But whether he realizes it now or not, the first thing the mu'min does is accept it. Why? Because the mu'min is supposed to be that person who realizes that before Allah he is weak, and that of his own he can do nothing. Like the malaika were reported to have said in Surah Al-Baqarah, like we shall see inshaAllah, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Glory be to you, O Allah, لا علم لنا. We know nothing. كل ما علمتنا except that which you teach us. With the exception of what Allah has taught a Muslim, the Muslim realizes that he knows nothing. In fact, the human being knows nothing other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught him Allah. Because a mu'min is like that, the first thing a mu'min does is believe. أَمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. So what the mu'minun do is believe. And then they say, we have heard and we obey. That's what the mu'minun do. Allah says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قُلَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That's what the mu'min does. The mu'min will say, when a matter has been decreed and he has been called to obey that matter, to obey Allah concerning that matter, to obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mu'min will say, I have heard and I obey. And Allah says, wa ulaika hum al muflihun. Only those who behave as such, only those who do like that, will prosper on the day of judgment, which means only they will be admitted into the Jannah. So Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Then, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, but for those who disbelieve, this is one sign of the unbeliever. فَيَقُولُونَ, they will say, مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. They first want to question. They first want to question Allah before they decide on whether to believe or not. That is one of the first things that will get man into kufr. You want to question Allah. You believe that if a thing does not appeal to you, if it does not appeal to you, if you cannot understand it, then it means it doesn't exist. It is not right. That is what the answer is. So, like I was telling you, I watched a program on TV which showed a Muslim exhibiting his jahl concerning Islam. That he was, you know, the person interviewing started by saying, the first thing he started with was that it is very difficult to see you, and that Muslim is supposed to be a leader. It is very difficult to see you. Is it because he's so embracing? Because he seems to behave like a brute. What is his behavior? If one wants to see you, there has to be an appointment. You have to tell the person, come to so time. If you do not know about him, no matter who the person is, he will not see you. He said, yes. He said, yes. That is true. Said, and if you ask me, if you give me an appointment and I come with somebody else, only the person who gives the appointment will be able to see you. The other person will not see you, no matter who he is. He said, yes. That is true. So, is that because of your British training? He said, yeah. He said, he went to the university in Britain. I think he said he went to secondary. He attended secondary. He had a secondary education in Britain and university and this and that. And he was knighted by the King of England. He was knighted by, you know, he was too proud to say he was knighted. What does it mean to be knighted? What does it mean? Who is the knight of the British Empire? Who becomes the knight of the British Empire? If Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person is my sahabi, what does he mean? The implication of that is that Rasul knows that person sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also means that the person believes in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And insha'Allah, the person will need to be a sahabi till the end of time. If Rasul says, this is my sahabi, follow him, that person will never commit ridda. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means that his Islam has been approved by Allah. It means Allah has said about him, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنهم. Isn't it? Yes, that Allah has approved of his Islam and has said, I'm pleased with them, they are pleased with me. That's what it means. If Rasul says, this is my sahabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Brit, the way you know them now, if the Prophet says, this person is nicer, what does he mean? He is loved by the Queen. And he also loves the Queen. The Sahaba is pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with him. Isn't it? So the knight is loved by the Queen and that person loves the Queen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةً. If any people, if any, is it correct to say any people? No. Any people, is it correct? What? I can't understand what it is. Say it in a voice. Is it correct? Is it correct? If I say if any people, is it correct? Or I have to say any one people. I'm looking at people here as one set of persons. So I say any people. I'm just like saying any set of people. Okay? Well, why not in English? Whether it's wrong or right, if you understand what I mean. That's what is important. So, look at the Brits now, the way they are. Look at the Brits the way they are. You see the way they are now, you see their Aqida. What do you say, for instance, that your Islam is good? What do you understand? You are supposed to be a prophet. If you are not a Kafir, you are a prophet. The prophet hates you. If you had been alive, he would have hated you. That's what it means. Because the prophet hates them. And you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always said it, that the deen of your friend will be your deen on the day of resurrection. So every person should be careful who his friend is. Now this person is even proud to be associated with the Greeks and they have confessed that he has been influenced by this civilization. And so he's proud to say that he's just like them. You know, to see the Greek, if he's sitting in his house and you come to him during lunch and he's sleeping and he didn't know about you, so he didn't prepare your own lunch. So you came and you were eating lunch, he would give you a newspaper. You take down and read the newspaper and he'd be eating. And he would say, yeah, because I didn't know about you. I didn't know you were coming. So that's what I prepared for only myself. What does the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? The food for one person would still be enough for two. You're not eating here so that you get to your neck. That's not what you do on earth. That's not what the Muslim does. The Muslim just eats to hang on to life. Because the Muslim actually does not look at this as something permanent. So he doesn't actually prepare for it every day. He just lives the way it comes. If you wanted to eat this food alone and tell people to come, you say, well, that's how the life is supposed to be. The kind of food you eat. That's what I get now is what has been decreed to me. And life goes on. That's how the Muslim lives. But the brute, no. He lives for 1,000 years to come. You know, it's also 2,000 years to be known. And a Muslim is not supposed to be proud of that. Because their thinking is not supposed to be the same. But he is very proud. So, and as a result of that, we're coming to the part that makes me very angry with that person. Now, after seeing that, then they went to the next stage. You know, they talked a lot about that. His lifestyle, he doesn't discriminate people anyhow. But you know, in Islam, it's wrong for you to get a visitor and turn him back because you didn't know about him. You must talk to him for the first 3 days. You must, if he has no other place to go, you must. At least you attend to him and find him a place. If it's compulsive. After 3 days, he has gone. It's not compulsive, you continue to visit him. Whether you knew about him or not. And then he says he is now a brute, he has been influenced by it and so. He will be to Jahannam just like them. Because I mean he will have to be held like them because he lives in their place. And then they went to another issue. They said, in fact, that reminds me. The person to hear him say, that reminds me. That it has been said that you have only one wife. Said, yes, I've been living for this long. He's probably about 60 or more. So you have only one wife, he said, yes. He said, why? Why do you have only one wife? You can't afford to have more than one. He said, you know, that's probably that part of the beauty training too. He said, because to him, one wife is enough trouble. One wife is enough trouble. So the person is a reason, unfortunately, is a Christian. You look at one wife, you look at wife as trouble. Do you look at a woman as trouble? And he said, of course, you know, you can do that too. You have a wife too, and children, you know what family means. So you should know that a wife is good trouble. That's what the Muslim is telling the Christian. And the Christian was trying to say, no, a woman is no trouble. He said, no, but you should know. A woman is enough trouble. So the person wants to live alone. That's a Muslim. He wants to live alone so much so that even a wife he sees as, you know, does necessary evil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, if I had known, if I were to know that I would have only 10 days more, and I was presented with a wife, I would accept her. If I had the chance to marry, I would still marry and live for just 7 years with her and then die at least with that additional wife. Because I know that it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this Muslim says, no. It's enough power. He says, you know that a lot of Muslims now think that the number of wives you have will be to tell how successful you are. But you think that it's a measure of your success to have so many wives and so you keep having wives. But he doesn't think so. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. When Allah says that you should marry and multiply, he says, what does Allah mean by that? He says, you know, these are modern times. They are different from those times. That's what you say. And you know, these are the realities of our times. They are different from those days. So now, just marry one and probably have just 2 children and take all of them to England to school. Yeah. That's a measure of your success. If your children can go to Britain or go to wherever, go to America, go to Copenhagen and work to the state fair. Yeah. They are civilized children. And that's a measure of your success. But have 3 or 4 wives? No. That's why some Muslims think now they have become just like this Islam. So this is actually what shows how much of a kafir one is. But when one goes to question Allah, Allah has spoken to this, and the one says, no, that's not what it is. And I'm asking. I was a little something to ask that man some questions. Unfortunately, he's not a phoning program. But I hope he gets to read what I've written, understand? And one of the questions I'm asking, and we are, one of the questions is, that the ratio of women to men now is almost getting to 3:1. The ratio is 1. If every man marries one woman, as a means, what do you do with the rest of the women? For each person that marries one woman, there are two women waiting. For each person. So if every person were to marry one, what would the rest of the women do? You are a leader, and you must be asked on the day of resurrection concerning the things you did to take care of those two that did not get husband. So as a leader, what would you do about the two? If you were a leader, what would you do? If everybody had just one wife, what would you do? So when you begin to question Allah, what you do is to work yourself. If you submit to Allah, what you do is break your chain and be free, intellectually and otherwise. If you submit to Allah, then you can be free. If you begin to question Allah and think that you have the solution to your problems, you chain yourself. In this world and in the hereafter, you will be in pain. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. One sign of kufr is that people begin to question Allah. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by this? How can you say that? You would have thought that you should be like this. The Muslim shouldn't do that. And Allah says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah leads a lot of people astray with just the miracles of him. بَيَهْدِ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And he leads a lot of people to the right path. He guides people to the right path, a lot of people. Also, with these similarities of his, وَمَا يُدِينَ بِهِ إِلَّا الْكَفِيرُ. Allah does not lead people astray, except those who have, except those who are astray. So when you hear that Allah says he leads some people astray, it means that those people are already gone astray and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sends them away. If it is said that Allah leads people astray, it means that the people have chosen to go astray and Allah has shown them the way and has led them astray because that is what they have chosen. But if somebody chooses the right path and does the right thing, Allah will not ask him to do the wrong thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la muru bil fahsha. Allah does not call people to do wrong. Allah does not lead people to the path of wrongdoing. No. But if you hear him say that he has led them astray, that they have on their own taken the wrong path, and he says, why not? If that's what you have chosen. I have shown you the right way. You have refused to follow, and you have taken only the wrong way. So go ahead and do it. If that's what you should do. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And fasiqun. There are two major types of fasiqun. There is the fasiq who is just a wrongdoer, not necessarily a kafir. There is the man who is called a fasiq because he does wrong. He does mischief. He does the wrong way all the time. He does terrible things. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are some fusaq, fawahish, that can be killed even if you are in your ihram. In your ihram, you are not supposed to kill, you are not supposed to shed blood. You are not even supposed to hunt. But there are some things that you can kill while you are in your ihram, and there is nothing wrong with that. One of them, you can kill a snake while in your ihram, because it's a fast. What else can you kill? You can kill a scorpion, even while in your salah. You can kill a scorpion, you can kill a snake. What else can you kill? You can kill a ant. You can add the faucet. Where is it is a faucet? What faucet means there is what it hurts. It injures, it inflicts injury. What can inflict injury, or what can hurt you, or can make you sad, or what, you know, can cause you distress, and so on and so forth. That will be the question. So a classic, as far as a human being is concerned, is that person who does wrong. Somebody who kills is a classic. Somebody who traps is a classic. Somebody who makes angry, even with his son, is a classic. And so on. Somebody who commits zina is a prophet. Then there's another set of prophet rules. And that will be the set of people who transgress Allah's laws. Who disobey Allah by, you know, being kafar, by disbelieving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So if somebody disbelieves what Allah says, Allah leads him astray. Because he's already gone astray, so Allah throws him away. And left him astray because he puts the lie, but Allah says it's true. وَمَا يُرْبِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ Who are الْفَاسِقِينَ الَّذِينَ يَنْقُدُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ Those who يَنْقُدُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ Those who have a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but choose to break the covenant with Allah. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ And they clear the ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to keep. They clear it. Now what did they say? أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ What are the covenants of man with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For instance, أَلَسْتُ بِعَبْدِكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى أَلَسْتُ بِعَبْدِكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى Allah said to mankind, Am I not your Lord? And mankind said, Yes, you are. And Allah said, Yes. That's what you say, so that on the day of resurrection, you don't come and say something else. You have testified to the fact that Allah created you, and Allah takes care of you. So that person who now says, because of the modern times, I won't marry more than one wife. That person is denying the fact that Allah is the Rabb, because he now thinks that he, and he alone, is responsible for his own teaching of that. He has to tell himself what he should do, not Allah. Allah cannot say that this is what you can do and that I will take care of you. No. Allah cannot say that. He, and he alone should say, yes, I can take care of myself, although I cannot. That's what he begin to do. So these are the classic rules whom Allah will lead astray because they have chosen to go astray themselves. And this is another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he said that there are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put together. Three, and they are in pair. Each of them is a pair. You can't separate one from the other and still remain intact in your Islam. Your Islam will become possible if you do. Allah says, أَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ أَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا الرَّسُولَ Obey Allah and obey the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you try to break these two, if you now say, we obey Allah, but Rasul, no. We don't have anything to do with the hadith. We just follow the Quran, and it's enough for us. And the hadith in Ba'ahu al-Minun, you know, things like that. You say, Allah says, there's no other thing you can do except the Quran. And that's the only thing we believe in. So they say, we have people in Allah, and no Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These are al-Fatihun. Why? Allah says it in the Quran. Tell me the ayah. Allah does not quote the Bible. And they say that we believe in part and we disbelieve part. When you do not in your circle, you'll be in a graphic of Kabila and they want to be like bat. You know a bat? A bird? No. No. Is that a rat? Is it a mama? Huh? It's a mama. Is that a rat? Is it an elephant? Is it a bird? Can you help us say that it is in between? And the attempts to stop in between, neither here nor there. Allah says, أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These are the number one kuffar. That's their first name. So if you teach them to say, Quran, no hadith, say, change his name. Don't call him Muhammad. Call him? Kafir. Call him number one kafir. And he will tell you. Because you gave him his right name. You know, say, الَّذِينَ يَقُبُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. Allah has commanded us to obey Allah and His Son. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. It's later. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent prophets, has sent messengers. And He didn't send them for nothing. He sent them so that they will be obeyed. That's why when He sent Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. So anybody who says Allah and no Rasul says his Islam is not there. But Allah says أقيموا الصلاة وأعطوا الزكاة. Allah says perform صلاة and give زكاة. But people say we will perform صلاة but no زكاة now. They are not Muslims. Are they?
No.
They are not Muslims. They are not Muslims. They have to believe in the two and do the two at the same time. That's everyone. Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says, worship only Allah and then be kind to the parents. What do you say? We worship Allah, but my parents, no. Because I was raised in Britain, born and bred in Britain, so I'll behave like the Jews, I'll behave like the Americans, what do the Americans do? We will find a town far away there for old people. When they are 60 and above, we take them there, go and stay there, and leave us alone here to live life. Because what they do there, will also do it here. If you say that, then your Islam has a broken leg. You can't separate the two because Allah does not permit you to separate the two. That's one aspect of the ayah. That's one aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to keep good relationship with your kith and kin. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us to do that. Allah does not permit that you severe your ties with your kith and kin. People who do that are al-fasiqun, but these are not kuffar. These are al-fasiqun, they are disobeying Allah and they are sinners, but they are not kuffar. Any time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to kill, don't severe. If you do that, that's a sign of your kuffar or is in kuffar. Because like we said, there are two parts. One of them is just an allegiance to Allah. Another is kufr. Why do we think this is kufr? Allah says about Iblis. What does he say? وَإِذْ قَلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ ها؟ وكان من الكافر بعد الله فصفق عن أمر ربه أخذ إبليس إن النبأ فصفق عن أمر ربه فصفق أي فصفق because إن النبأ فكان من الكافرين فهي يصير فصفق عن أمر ربه أي فصفق so فصفق will be كفر and it could also be معصية. Do you understand that? وَمَا يَذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ. You know, the ميثاق that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could also be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Banu Israel. What did he say? Okay? He gave them a letter of command. What did he say? Like what? He says in another ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. What did he say? لَإِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُم بِرُسُلِي وَأَزْهَرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Allah said to them also, like the Ustaz told us in the first ayah and in this one too, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us. لَإِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ if you would perform salah. وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ and give zakah. So you can't separate these two. You see again, you can't separate these two. That's why Abu Bakr and Siddiq fought the people who attempted to separate them. And so you perform salah with no zakah. Said, I will fight them. وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي and then you believe in my messenger, all of them. وَأَزْوَرْتُمُوهُمْ and you respect them. وأقربتم الله قربا حسنا أن يجعل أنفسكم من اللون. هذا اللون means that you give him your life, you give him your property so that he will give you a good one. So you can be in a position to say, I give this for Allah's sake so that I can get this. That's what shows that you believe. Because if you are always in love to give to Allah, that could be a sign of your kufr. That could be a sign of your belief in Al-Jannah. Because it's only somebody who believes in Al-Jannah that is able to practice what he has here so that he gets to Al-Jannah. Because that's not what you have to do. So you have to believe that and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your sin. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ and they make mischief on earth. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those who do that, those are the enemies that have been mentioned here. هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those are the ones who will be losers from the day of resurrection. There are two major categories of losers. The first set of losers will be amongst the mu'minun. That will be the Muslim. When he was resurrected, he believed in Allah, he performed salah on earth, he gave the car, he did this, he did that, and all that. But when he went there, he went to people's right on him, on his neck. He took this from there, he took that from that, people's properties, and so on. And not even property alone, he imported this, he did that, he oppressed this, and so on. He took his land. Like it is done in this country now, he took his land. You see, one person taking farmland belonging to about 300 people. One person takes away all that and gives them, you know, peanuts. Then he takes all of that and surrounds, you know, his country. And they become one person's property. You were supposed to have assisted these people that have been killed. Why is it you want to send your family on? Because there's no food in the house, and I'm your governor. So I should be responsible for that, shouldn't I? Yes, I should be. Instead, I say, okay, bring that farmland, I give you 40,000 so that I keep it from you, and then it becomes mine. Okay, well, thank you very much. On the day of resurrection, you will give it back to him, and you will be resurrected with that land on your head. You take advantage of their innocence, you take advantage of their poverty. You were supposed to have got the cost of their faith, and then you give them more. Because 50,000 you're giving them will not last for more than 1 month. So that would be the first set of users. People who have taken this and this, taken that and that, and nothing, and then on the resurrection, your Allah will be given to them, your Zakah will be given to them, your soul will be given to them, and so on. People who committed adultery with the wife of their neighbor. On the day of resurrection, that neighbor would be brought. And he said, yes, this man took it to their wife. Did you know? He said, no, I didn't know. So Allah will say, yes, he took it to their wife. So look at his good deeds now. Take whatever appeals to you. You think that person will leave you with anything? You expect him to leave some part of your plan so now you can manage them. He will take everything. And he is probably not satisfied. So maybe Allah will now say, give him some of your evil, you know, some of your own sin, and try to hit me back. And you expect him to do some? So those will be the first set of leaders. There's an authentic tradition from that. Read the Tarahid of Tarahid. It's authentic. Sahih of Tarahid, what can be? You speak to somebody else's wife, your neighbor's wife, especially in the Ramadan. You take advantage of his absence. You sleep with his wife, on the day of resurrection, that's how you pray. You will be a loser. And the second set of leaders will be the kuffar. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بَقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Isn't it? Yes. The kuffar. They did a lot of things here. They were in the Red Cross. They were in the Boy Scout. They were in the this. They were in the that. They were lawyers fighting for people. Human rights activists. And so on and so forth. But did they believe in Allah? No. Did they believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah? No. Did they do it for Allah's sake? No. On the day of resurrection, they will be losers. Everything will be like a mirage. You know, when you see a mirage, you are getting there and thinking you get some water because you are thirsty. When you get there, oh, sorry, there is nothing there. Because if it was water, there was nothing. You know, like this one? He was thirsty and he ran and ran and ran. And when he got there somewhere, he saw a mirage and he said, yes, this is water. And I'm a very good swimmer. So he comes back to the people and says, sorry, I'm gone. And then he's like, oh, I'm from the rock. It was actually not a river. He comes back to see the people waiting for him to finish swimming. That's how a person would be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He would be a loser. He would have lost everything. الأخذين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا. That's how they will be. Everything they did, they would have lost. We pray that we will not be amongst such leaders. Do we have time to take another hour? 3 minutes more for the question. So we answer questions. Inshallah, this will be the last time before Monday, inshallah. We'll continue on Monday. Okay? We'll continue on Monday if I'm able to travel. If I'm not, we'll continue tomorrow. If I can't travel, inshallah, I'll continue tomorrow. Yes, please. And if I'm not around, one of you will take over. This one says, is it Islamically right for someone to catch Quranic recitation or call an prayer as his reading term? I don't know. Please explain the principle by which someone can differentiate between conditioned air and the religion of ordinary air. What is that and what is the ablution? I don't know what the difference is. Honestly, I don't know what the difference is. So. I don't know what the difference is. The difference is, if an adult sinner often encounters someone praying, his prayer is automatically invalid. How this happens in the congregation of prayer? Does this affect everybody praying? It depends on the person in front of whom she passed. If she passes in front of the imam, while he has no sutra, then the whole salah is invalid. If he passed, you know, through the road of the people behind the imam, then nothing happens to the sinner. It's actually risky whether you are in the mosque to pray without the sutra, especially if you are not praying behind an imam, if you are praying alone. You should always have something in front of you and make sure nobody passes. If somebody wants to pass, it's broken. If it's a female, that has attained the puberty age. If she passes, she can render your salah invalid. An authentic hadith says that. Even though Nana Aisha seems to disagree, because she quoted a hadith in which she said that she was sitting, she was on her bed, and or whatever her mat, or whatever, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting his nafila in the room, and that she was sometimes touching her and sitting her leg away from his feet so that he could perform sujood. And she thought that that could be comparable to that other hadith. And she said that there is nothing wrong. But the ulama said that hadith of hers has nothing to do with this hadith. The Prophet said if she passes, he didn't say if she touched a female while performing the salah. So there are two different things. I hope that is understood. Huh? This one says, may Allah increase you and every one of us here in knowledge. Ameen. And iman. Ameen. Now, the questions are, is it compulsory to keep the ritual back when one ejaculates, while one experiences wet dreams in the month of Ramadan or any other month before observing Salah? Yes. Once you have ejaculated, you have to perform your ritual back. But it doesn't render your fast invalid. No, it doesn't. The second one, if yes, okay. What is my fast? Because most times when I experience this, I only take my normal bath. And life goes on. Eh? And please briefly explain or describe prescribe for us how to carry out this particular ritual bath. Well, in your case, you did what you did because you thought that was the right thing to do. So, just think about to accept all of that. There's nothing you will do now. But from now on, you continue to perform your ritual bath when you have wet dreams. If the last wet dream you had, was, for instance, during Zuhur, between Zuhur and this time, then after this tafsir, you have to go and take your ritual bath and perform Zuhur and Asr. Because there's two times. There's still one time. So you have to do that. And he says, we can explain briefly how to do. I think we have done that in one of our cassettes. So you can meet on your fiancé and he'll tell, give you the cassette. So we don't want to be doing the same thing over and over again. As many people here like me are ignorant of how to carry out a proper ritual bath. Haven't we explained that before here? Huh? Yes, we haven't explained. Haven't we explained that before? We haven't. No, that's not what I asked you. I think we have explained it before. Briefly, there are two ways to perform the ritual bath. But the best is the one I'm going to talk about here because we don't have time. If you are going to use a bucket of water, it will be a little different from what you'll do if you would have done if you were using a kettle. But then, if you're using either a kettle or a bottle of water, a bucket of water, or you are going to just throw in the river, you're going to see a river to have your bath. If it is the kettle, which we normally use, that's what is commonly used here, or the bucket, if you are just washing from sleep, the first thing you do is you don't dip your hand into the bucket. Just hold the bucket from outside and tilt it a little so that water pours in your hand. You have a handful and then you wash both hands like this. That's one. You do that again and wash both hands like this at a go. That's two, and then you do it again, three. Okay? Three times, you wash both hands three times. When you have done that, you can start dipping your hand into the bucket now. If it's a kettle you are using, you don't dip your hand into the kettle in the first place. So you just tilt it and pour water and wash three times. Now, you are not yet performing your ritual bath as you do this. But after that, you are now ready to perform the ritual bath. So the intention in your mind, in your heart is that you're going to take that ritual bath, which is compulsory on you. You are not going to take. Then you pour water into your palm like this, so that you have a palm filled with water. And then you pour that on your private part. And then you wash with your left hand. After doing that, you wash with your left hand. Do you understand that? You wash your private part with your left hand. You wash your zakar and then surrounding. Anywhere that manure would start, you wash. And then you comb your pubic hair and all that to, you know, down. Your testicles and everything, you wash all those surroundings. And especially all the hair that you comb. When you have done that, what you have taken is not enough, you take another. You fill your palm again until it's washed. When you have done that, then that left palm of yours or hand that you used to wash, you scrub on soil. You use sand or something, if there is there, you scrub it and then you wash it. If there is nothing there, if there is no sand and there is no sand nearby, then you just, wash the hand thoroughly. So you don't have to use soap. After doing that, then you perform ablution. Then you perform ablution. Your ablution that you perform for your salat, that's what you perform. Only that, when you get to the part of the leg, you will not wash the feet. You will leave that out for now, and then you will scrub, first of all, your hair. You scrub the whole hair thoroughly with your fingers like this after putting, some water and sprinkling away. And then you will scrub it thoroughly and then you pour water three times in your palms like this. Pour water one, pour two, pour three, and each time you wash thoroughly your whole, the hair and the fat all together. While scrubbing your ears, in and out. And then you would also comb your beard. A Muslim is not supposed to be known without his beard. It's actually a shame, when you have a man without his beard, if he's a Muslim. It's supposed to be a shame, isn't it? Because each time you're mentioning ritual bath or wudu, you keep talking about beard. When the man is supposed to have his beard on, supposed to wear it, complete. Not just one you wear these days, that sometimes one has to look, very closely to see whether you have beard or not. Anyway, you comb your beard. When you have done that, You now see, you know, like your body in two. The right part you walk first, the left part you walk secondly. Then you move everything from where you were and then you wash your feet. But you will make sure that you scroll. Even though it's not compulsory, but it's better than you scroll. If you just scroll down your body, no problem. This one I think is the best one. There is another one you can do. This you cannot explain here because of time. I think we have explained it in that kata, you know, completely. So in the nutshell, this is how to perform the Shabbat. But if you're getting into the river, you just wash your private part and perform ablution, and then get into the river and wash the rest of the part of the body, and make sure you scrub, especially your armpit, your, you know, pubic hair you already washed before you started. So the rest of the body is scrubbed everywhere, and then you come out of the river and you're clean. You can use that bath to perform salah without performing ablution. Yeah. So, any other question? We still have time? How many minutes? Five. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I want you to tell me the consequences of taking an opposite sex, man taking woman. It's haram. That is it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it would have been better if you had pierced your head or your eye with a sharp object than do that. That means the punishment is death. Yawm al-Qiyamah will be worse than that. What would happen to the man's wife on the day of resurrection, the man that commits adultery in his absence? The wife also deserves the punishment if she was found out. If she was not, then you know that that is husband's right that she gives to another person. So she will also be amongst the Muslims soon. But you know, you should know that she has committed zulm, and so she will be punished the same way too. Next one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. May Allah reward us all. Ameen. First question, what is the Islamic ruling concerning the group recitation of the Quran? That is one person reading while others will be listening. If one person reads and the others listen, that is very good Sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command some Sahaba to read like that so that we will listen. It's good and it reminds us of the day of resurrection and all that. It's very good. It's the Sunnah and it's rewarding. It's zikr too. But if by group recitation, maybe I should add something that I've observed, especially in this month. You find people sitting one there, you know, like that, differently. Everybody is reciting aloud. That is bid'ah, that is haram, that is against the teaching of the Quran and Sunnah. If one person is reciting, the others listen. If everybody wants to recite his own, then recite to yourself. Don't make it such that the other person is hearing you. Because if he's hearing you, he's supposed to keep quiet and listen to you. It's not that everybody is raising his voice and people are reciting differently. It's wrong. It's bid'ah. It's wrong. It's against the Quran and Sunnah. The second question is, what type of dua are we required to say during the sujood of Quran recitation? Said the one who is the levy, khalqahu wa sawwarahu, وشق سمعه وبصره بحوله وقوته تبارك الله احسن الخالقين اللهم